Hello, everybody. Welcome back to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the casual Dota 2 podcast. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and joining me this afternoon is Jared Clyde Frog Patterson.
Yeah. Yes, it is the afternoon.
How you doing, Jared?
Fine. Doing just fine.
Doing just fine.
Doing just fine.
Okay. And also joining us this afternoon, Jared, is friend of the show, Ben Yadneb Day. How's it going, Ben?
Good afternoon, Brian. How are you?
I am delightful. How's your afternoon been, Ben?
It's been fun. I've been able to hang out with you guys. It's been fantastic.
It's just always a treat when you're great. Over here. Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
The overall level of flatulence in the room is just through the roof.
Well, mostly it's gaseous, so it does go through the roof. Yes.
can we talk about the origins? We said steak
sandwiches,
coffee.
And then followed up by some French press coffee.
Yeah,
which, as somebody who's just kind of an innocent bystander, smells awful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's not good.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we have the window open, and it's a nice spring day outside. So
it's beautiful.
We got that going for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I have to make a retraction. Are we going to start with that?
Yeah, you know, we might as well just get right to the retractions. Okay, so here. Explain the situation to us here, Ben.
If you've listened to the match cast, Brian forced me to be a part of that. And on that...
That would have been episode, I think it's either 4 or 5.
Do people listen to those?
I don't think so, Ben.
Okay. Well, anyways, nobody probably listened to the cast.
They probably will now, though.
They will now. So if you listen to it, Brian accused me of being a Meepo player, which I said, no, I'm not.
Accused.
Accused.
Yeah. So I said, well, we'll look into it after the show. And whichever one of us is wrong, we'll make a retraction on the show.
Wait, first of all, is being a Meepo player a bad thing?
It was a dishonest thing in my eyes. But this is the retraction part.
Okay.
Apparently, when we looked into it, I am wrong. I have played Meepo once.
That's right.
I played Meepo in a bot match.
April 26th, 3:57 p.m., Ben said he was wrong.
Yeah, I don't know when I played. I think it was last year sometime. Yeah,
it was 9 months ago.
Nine months ago.
Yeah.
And played. I went 0, 10, and 2.
Yeah.
So... I guess technically, according to Brian's definition, I have played Meepo.
So that would make you a Meepo player.
That would make me a Meepo player. I would invite our listeners, if they care to waste 30 minutes of their time to listen to the cast, to listen to Brian's voice inflections and really decide on their own whether they think he was implying that I went one bot match of 0, 10, and 2, or whether I was a Meepo player.
Right. A person who plays Meepo quite often.
Right. So I'm going to follow through and retract on that, but I'll leave that up to you guys to decide.
I think when it comes to the technical side of things, technically you are a Meepo player.
Right. But luckily, the English language is slightly more complex than that.
Look,
so we'll
Ben,
leave that up to the listeners.
I just need a win here, okay, Ben? And I'm searching for wins.
To be official, I officially retract my statement, and I have played Meepo and went 0, 10, and 2 at some point in 2013.
Fantastic. okay, so we're going to start this show like we traditionally do with who'd you play?
So Ben played Meepo.
I played Meepo back in 2013 in a bot match and went 0, 10, and 2.
Great. Did you play any Dota 2 this week, Ben?
Was that this week that we played?
I think so, unfortunately.
So Jared and I played some unfortunate matches.
Yeah.
I played some Bristleback.
Yeah, baby. We're going to talk about him later,
Ben. I'm trying to keep up I haven't actually listened to the show, so I can't really say that I'm a listener of the show, but it's somebody who's
a contributor.
Somewhat occasionally a contributor, although Brian says that I take away from the show, so I don't know if that's true either. But I'm friends with Brian, and he has the A to Z challenge.
You wouldn't know it.
I'm friends with Brian, and I stop farting. I'm friends with Brian, and he's done the A to Z challenge, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And it was a Bristleback, was where you were at, so I wanted to catch up with that, and I played some Bristleback.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a fun one.
I think
he's fun.
Yeah, I think he's really fun.
Yeah. What about you, Jared?
Well, I've been playing a little bit of Dazzle and Witch Doctor, actually.
Oh, yeah.
This past week.
Those are definite Jared heroes.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
Yeah.
And then I played the unfortunate match that Ben was talking about, probably my worst match ever on a Crystal Maiden.
Oh, right.
So
that's where all the Crystal Maiden hate came from earlier today.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing.
You love Crystal Maiden.
I do. We all do.
Yeah.
But what happens is if she gets behind... and I was definitely behind because I wasn't playing well. It's hard to be an underleveled support in general.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to be an underleveled squishy support.
Right.
With a mustache.
Yeah.
Do you think the mustache had any play into it? Because you did.
I was pretty distracted.
You were looking at the mustache. You were talking about the mustache.
My mustache is awesome.
Yeah. Because he got the mustache item and then he would die a lot. And I'm just wondering.
Well, I think I was distracted by the portrait, because when you're playing the game and you see the little portrait of the hero, I don't know if you guys have seen the Crystal Maiden set that we're talking about. It's the IX Mike 88 set, where it just looks like she has a giant mustache.
Yeah,
a giant white mustache.
And here's what I think happens. It creates a situation where you're playing the game and you have to ask yourself, am I playing Crystal Maiden or am I playing Gyrocopter? And you're just not sure. and you get confused. You start trying to do a call
that's
down
fair.
And
yeah.
It doesn't work out.
No, that's a good point. Didn't think about it that way. But
were you trying to play Gyro Maiden?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
The Gyro I was Maiden like, flat cannon.
Right. Okay, very good.
And then Gyro Maiden might be better after a patch, but right now it's not viable.
No, Gyro Maiden's not viable at all.
Yeah.
So, Brian, who do you play?
I played Hearthstone this week.
I've also played that. That's great. That's a fantastic game.
I did not play any Dota 2.
So embarrassing.
It's been a freaking rough week.
So embarrassing.
Do you feel like, as somebody who leads out a podcast, that this is a problem?
I mean, that's why I have you two on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're the experts.
Totally.
Yeah. Questionable leadership at best, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You got the talking head.
Yeah.
You got the talking head down. So that's good.
You know, I watched a lot of Dota 2.
What did you watch? Who did you watch get played?
I don't even know what I watched. I watched some of the American Dota League, which was really fun to watch.
Absolutely.
I watched some of the ESL 1 qualifiers. Is it ESL or ESM?
ESL.
ESL 1 qualifiers. Mm-hmm. What else was going on?
We have...
It's real busy.
Well, right now, DreamHack.
WPC.
Yeah, and then DreamHack Budapest or...
Yeah.
Bucharest.
So who was your favorite hero? Not player. Who was your favorite hero to watch during these watchings of the Dota? That's what I want to know. Who's the hero
question.
That really got you going? You're like, this is the hero I wish I was playing if I played.
I always really like watching a good Mirana player.
Okay.
Real fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you guys know, I've had a little bit of a crush on Mirana these past couple
Whoa.
Weeks.
You really have?
Yeah. Bit of a for Mirana.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So that's been good. She throws out those
sacred arrows.
Every time,
arrows.
Right?
Yeah. That's so much fun.
Oh yeah.
We were also watching a match with some good Faceless Void play earlier.
Oh yeah.
You guys have really done a lot of positive talking about Faceless Void lately.
Jared has.
Jared,
I do
really.
Not.
Are you not on board yet, Brian?
I'm not. He's very fun to watch, but I would much rather draft somebody else. Okay.
He's got so much freaking potential.
I know Jared is really on board right now. With
he it. Does, but it's only there if you have Chronosphere up.
Get Ag Scepter, and it's like
it's
every 17 seconds.
That's what he does.
True. That is nice, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but...
He does have a lot of potential.
Oh,
I'll give
yeah.
you that.
So much.
You have to make sure you get like a Battle Fury or Mjolnir
yeah,
as well.
For sure.
He's kind of like...
He takes a while to get online.
Exactly. He's kind of like anti-mage to me.
Yeah.
I think if you draft a Faceless Void... If I'm the other team, like I'm immediately picking up like a Lycan or a Death Prophet or a Pugna.
Yeah, but you can fifth pick a Faceless almost every game. How often does he get banned?
He's usually there.
Yeah, yeah, he's usually definitely in the
pool. Yeah, so you can five pick a Faceless almost all the time.
Five pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As in the fifth pick.
Yeah. As in the pick of number five.
I've never heard anyone refer to it as a five pick. That's just why I say that.
Speaking of drafts, are we doing our secret feature today? Or are we going to hold that for a different day?
We are not doing our secret feature. Ben, we talked about this for probably about 10 minutes
well,
that we're
just,
not
let's
doing
it. Let's
just
call that a teaser because it's going to be great.
Yes. Let's tease something that we have no idea how we're going to do it.
No possible intention of actually following.
Ben,
I think we'll have it.
Ben, why don't you explain what the special feature is?
Well, I don't. Do we want to do that or not?
Sure.
I think they're going to want us to do the special feature.
Well, I think regardless of whether we talk about it or not, you're going to leak something out there. Yeah.
So the special feature, from my understanding, because they somehow, for some reason, Brian and Jared have shared with me the documents for this podcast. So
Ben saw a folder of Google Docs.
I have
and
spoilers.
Saw a document that's probably at least 4 months old, Jared?
It was like from episode three, maybe.
If not older.
Right.
So he got real excited.
It's called Jared versus Brian. And what this is, it looks like it's some sort of a fantasy draft where they will be drafting against each other.
Right.
And that I decided that I should be the impartial judge to decide whose draft is better. So I think the draft actually will start with Jared. So Jared, who's your first band?
So moving on, since we have not flushed this out at all.
Ben, go home. How'd you even get in here? Who let you in?
You forced me to come.
I did send you a text message that said the front door is open. Come on in. Exactly. I will say that.
We'll save that for later, I guess. Oops. I got vetoed.
But yeah, I will say just real quick, I know this is not a Hearthstone podcast, but Hearthstone is available on the iPad, and this is what my life has been. It has been work. Lay down in bed, play a couple matches of Hearthstone on the iPad, go to sleep, wake up, work. More Hearthstone on the iPad and sleep.
That's my life rhythm as well, and it's been great. Hearthstone is a good game to get in a match, and then...
Yeah, because those matches are like, what, like 10 minutes maybe sometimes?
Usually,
yeah.
Unless you get somebody really slow, because occasionally you get somebody who decides that they're really good at the game, even though they're... Maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but they take way too long. You have two cards in your hand.
I can't tell if they're trolling me in that case or not.
I worry about being trolled.
Yeah.
So all the matches I've played have been against you.
You and I have never played a match in Hearthstone.
No, everyone I play against, I feel like they're trolling me.
Oh, that they're trolling you. Okay. Well, I'm a Meepo player.
So. Yeah. I'll be here all week, folks.
All week.
All right. So anyway, let's move on to the news.
All right.
Couple quick community things.
Yeah. Some housekeeping.
Housekeeping, if you will. Yeah.
If you will. And we will.
I have tasked community manager Kyle Manring, Crimson.
Yes.
I think he's officially going by Crimson now.
Okay.
He changes his name every other week.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I think since we were giving him so much crap, he stopped doing that.
Kyle, email the show once you figure out what your name is.
Official
so,
email.
Yeah, man Kyle Ring.
I've tasked him with coming up with a community night for us. So we want to get a kind of a weekly night started where everyone who listens to the show, or even if you don't, you're more than welcome to come and hang out with us, play some matches with us.
We'll do some, they call it in-house games.
Correct.
What does that term mean?
Basically, just like a private game.
Private lounge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really want to create a space for everyone who listens to the show to kind of hang out and get to know each other.
Totally.
Hang out with us, play some matches. And, it'll be a good time. So I'm not sure when that'll be, but I think Kyle's making a thread on the subreddit. So let us know what nights you want it to be, or
it'll probably be
that sort of thing.
Eastern Standard Time would be appreciated, just because that's where we are.
Yeah.
So if you talk about a time.
Yeah, we're only doing this to benefit us.
Totally. Yeah.
So we'll do that. We'll have a good time.
What is the entry fee?
The entry fee.
$1 million.
Right. $1 million. Dollars. Yen. So it's about 50 cents USD.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And Jared, you and I have tossed around the idea of doing, during the International 4, doing a commentary stream.
Ooh. Yeah.
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 Where we kind of do like a, almost like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 type 100%. Situation.
Yeah. So the camera will be behind us and you'll only see our heads.
Right.
And we'll be very small compared to the screen.
Right.
So.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that turns out.
But yeah, let us know if you'd be interested in something like that, something that we have been talking about. And obviously, a lot of details need to be worked out there.
Yeah. I think at the very least, I'd like to get a chat room.
Oh, going. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're watching the International, you hop into our chat room and you can not have to struggle with Twitch.
It's really a place for our listeners to hang out. That's what you guys want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Because that's not really happening. So we want to get you guys connected with each other. And it'll be a good time.
100%.
Because there's a lot of people out there that want to play games with us, by the way.
Well, yeah, they want to win because they listen to how bad we
Correct.
Are.
Correct. Yeah, very bad.
We aren't.
I think there's people who mostly want to play against us.
So that they can pad their stats.
So that they can pad their stats.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That's what I'm here for.
It's like an eighth grader beating up a third grader.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're third graders?
Absolutely.
Did we just slam all of our listeners?
No, we slammed
We may have.
We slammed us, didn't we?
Well, okay. If an eighth grader is beating up a third grader, though, you really have to question the judgment of the eighth grader.
Right. So you just totally, you totally poo-pooed on all of our listeners there.
Every single one of them.
Poo-pooed. Yeah.
But we're also really bad as well.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Well,
we're terrible.
Call us third graders, but that's not as bad as being the eighth graders that are picking on the third graders. We just don't know any better. We're just getting picked on.
Yeah.
The listeners.
Brian, can you please issue a retraction?
I'm just going to see myself out here. See myself out the door.
So yeah, in synopsis, let us know if that would be something you're interested in, commentary stream. Yep. Or for the international, we definitely want to do something special.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
but
it'll be a good
time. Important thing is that Kyle's going to be doing all the work.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, really, he's going to be doing all the legwork.
That's really all that matters.
We'll make sure Kyle does it.
Yeah.
All right, so Jared, we were talking about this earlier today in the car.
Yes.
And the Dota gods are smiling down upon us
right now.
Wow.
They're tossed one over the plate for us here.
And we are going to knock it out of the park.
New patch was announced last night.
Oh, yeah.
And we get to talk about it the very next day.
That's right.
I've actually looked at the patch notes.
Oh, my gosh. This is incredible.
We did homework.
We did.
Wow.
Okay. So patch 6.81, aka the spring cleaning patch, is upon us.
Nice name for that patch, by the way. That's
Well,
the artwork for it is a big face of Mirana,
which you're totally into.
I did not see that.
No. It's a little strange.
You're into it.
I'm into it. Oh yeah, I'm absolutely into it.
But no, they call it the spring cleaning because they basically, it was mainly bug fixes,
and balance.
Yeah, I mean, there's,
but even more bug, like more balanced things that were based on bugs, really.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. So
yeah,
clever name.
As far as the actual spring cleaning part of it goes, the thing I'm most excited about
is the Mirana face.
No, you can you can assign a hotkey to the quick buy, and it'll buy the first item that you can purchase.
That is awesome.
So
that
I can just,
is awesome.
I can just hit like F6, and it'll just buy that item instead of me having to go to the corner of my screen and right click.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? So like if you shift click in the shop to set up your quick buy.
Yes.
You know how if you have a item that's available for purchase, it'll be like outlined in yellow.
Yes.
And you can right click on it to buy it.
Yes.
Now you can just set up a hotkey and you can press the hotkey and it'll buy
The item.
Which item? Just that one? So only if there's one that's available.
If there's two, it'll buy the first one that's available.
First as in left to right?
Yeah, left to right.
Right. Okay. Which is generally the cheapest item.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they order in. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then recipes are always last.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about the patch notes, you guys.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's see here. I neglected to pull it up on my tablet.
That's really embarrassing.
I know, so embarrassing. Jared, off the bat, what changes are you excited about?
Well,
why the heck is this in Spanish? The heck, man?
Are you getting trolled?
I don't know.
No. I always get, I think that one of the biggest changes that can happen
I went to Dota2.com and it was all in Spanish.
That's weird. But the biggest like changes that like heroes can have are always growth changes, like for their stat growth. I think that they are
the foundational changes.
Yeah, exactly. So there were a couple that had those pretty serious stat changes.
Yeah.
I can't think of them offhand. You remember
Luna got nerfed.
Yeah,
Luna lost 4 agility.
I was very upset as somebody who
4 base agility.
Luna, yeah,
that was needed.
There was also,
probably was needed.
There was also a lot of Aghanim scepter changes,
right?
In additions,
yeah.
I'm just kind of casually looking through.
Yeah, we're not going to go hero by hero about anything like that.
A big one though is with Abaddon. Aghanim scepter borrowed time, which is his ultimate.
Yeah, so when he's glowy, so
now
when you don't hit him,
redirects 35% of all damage dealt to allied heroes.
Yeah. How? What is? Wow. Yeah.
So now you can't not just hit him.
You can't really hit anybody, or at least you're going to pay for it.
Exactly. So if he has a scepter, not only is the borrow time increased, but now if you hit heroes around him, his allies, then you're going to also give him life back.
It's a really interesting change, I thought.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, and I think it aids in the fact that a lot of people, like obviously, he's not too heavy in the pro scenes.
Yeah.
Because people that play the game know that when he's glowing, you know,
you just don't hit him.
Yeah, you just don't hit him.
Yeah.
So that's going to help negate that, because then it's also going to serve as a...
it's essentially a really good team fight cooldown now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. And then you can also start building damage items on him, mm-hmm. and he can be a bit more of a right clicker, because he does right click pretty hard as you get further on.
Yeah. Do you think with Ag Scepter, when the ultimate pops, do you think it shows that animation on all heroes or just on...
I'm curious. I was wondering that. Is everybody glowing or is he just glowing? Do they glow less? I don't know.
Because it's an AoE, correct? It's an AoE? The heroes have to be within an AoE? Is that correct?
I'm not sure. It doesn't say. 900 range.
Yeah, 900 range. Okay. So, yeah, I would imagine that they would glow.
Yeah.
I would think they would glow, but glow less.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Jared, there was a change on Axe that I have. You explained it to me, and I still have no idea what it means.
Yes.
Counter Helix now uses pseudo random chance.
So, pseudo random distribution is basically the idea that it has like a 17% chance or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
But regular random distribution says that every time you hit, that has a 17% chance of happening. With Dota, they wanted to make it a little different, so they used something called pseudo-random distribution.
Yeah.
Where that kind of stacks. And the analogy that I use is, think of regular random distribution rolling a dice.
Right.
Think of pseudo-random distribution as playing Yahtzee.
Right.
So you have...
You gotta lock in those fives.
Exactly. Totally. So, like... it might have a 17% chance of happening the first time. If it doesn't happen that time, your percentage goes up, just so that you make sure that it actually does happen.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the changelog says that it reduces the chance that a very unlucky or lucky streak will happen.
Right.
So it kind of flattens out.
It's modifying the dice roll so they're not so random, because random can be bad.
Yeah. Random can be terrible.
Or too good, basically.
Yeah,
either way. It's flattening that a little bit.
On Beastmaster, base damage increased by 4.
Is that a big deal? What do you think?
4? I mean,
4 is a big number.
Yeah.
At level 1, I think it would add up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Does he have early game issues? I don't see a lot of Beastmaster, to be honest.
I think he's strong in the early and mid game.
So kind of builds on that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a buff. It's not a huge buff for him. Brewmaster, big change on Brewmaster.
Yeah, this is craziness, a pretty big one. Yeah.
Okay, if you have not attacked for 10 seconds, your next attack will always activate a Drunken Brawler critical hit.
Right.
So that's basically like having a guaranteed Chrysalis.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you have not been attacked for 10 seconds, Drunken Brawler will cause you to evade the next attack.
So really, he's a person who stays in wait to either attack or be attacked, and then can do some really neat things.
Yeah.
Do those stack? So if you have not been attacked...
Yeah, they would both.
You get an evade and then the special bonus to the first attack, I would think, right?
Yeah, yeah. So your first attack would be a guaranteed crit, and then your first attack received...
Back is going to be a dodge.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Anything that's guaranteed.
Oh, anything you know you can count on is really easily it can be exploited.
For sure. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah, that is pretty big deal.
The Hoof Stomp mana cost for Centaur Warrunner has increased from 85, 100, 115 to 130 to just flat out 130 across the board.
Which, this is a pretty big deal because he has a little bit of mana problems.
That's like half his mana pool.
It's over half his mana pool.
Oh my gosh.
You can't really spam that. Right?
No. And the thing with that was, like, when I played Centaur, which I love playing Centaur, I always left Hoofstomp at level 1.
Yeah.
For quite a while. One, because of the mana issues. But then two, it's still a 2 second stun. 2 second stun at level 1, which is pretty legit.
It's one of those value point.
Yeah, for sure.
Abilities.
But now it's probably worth leveling a little sooner than.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Chaos Knight.
So overall, is that a buff then? Is that?
Oh, no.
That's a nerf. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretty hard.
Nerf. Yeah. I would think that's a big nerf.
On Chaos Knight, Phantasm now has a 50% chance to create one extra illusion when cast.
That sounds annoying.
Yeah. Chaos Knight can be super annoying.
Sounds like he can be more annoying now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that.
Well, yeah, that's Chaos Knight's like a hero you don't see too often.
No, yeah. You don't right
this
now.
This is kind of a buff to him, but I think that since it's somewhat random, you know, you're only getting that half the time.
Right.
I don't think it's not a sure enough thing to warrant picking him.
No, I don't think it changes picking him. I think it just changes facing him is going to be more annoying than it was before.
Right. I would agree with that.
I don't think it really changes where he's at.
And it was Phantasm that we were talking about?
We were talking about Chaos Knight, his Phantasm ability. Okay. Doom damage no longer ignores magic shields. So this applies to shields such as the barrier from Pipe of Insight.
Seems like a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And I would think like Ember Spirits, Flame Guard.
Yeah.
Who else? I can't think of who else has
Aphotic Shield? Abaddon?
Yeah, I think that might be. You know, it's stuff like
that. Did it go through a BKB before?
Templar Assassin and her
I don't
refraction?
Think it goes through BKB. Okay. I'm not sure.
Well, it wouldn't now if it did before.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, because this is different than BKB. They're not referring specifically to BKB, which is magic immunity.
That's true. Immunity versus a shield.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Earth Spirit. Creeps will no longer try to path around Fissure. They'll just stop and wait for it to disappear. What did I say?
You said Earth Spirit.
Earth Spirit. I'm looking at Earth Spirit. I meant Earth Shaker, though.
But yeah, no, this is a big change.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of times you could pick Earthshaker and do like the creep like maneuvering to just totally like get them out of lane and like send them to the ancients and then just go that way from it. So that's no longer a thing.
Is that the intention of this, do you think? To change that type of behavior?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
One really kind of good thing about that, though, is it's going to be easier to do creep blocks.
Yeah, I was going to say the creeps are just going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you can get a nice
creep block.
Nice creep block. Pull your lane back.
Nice 3-second creep block or whatever it is.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's not too bad.
On Elder Titan, Echo Stomp mana cost reduced from 100, 115, 130, 145 to 100 across the board.
Pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be great.
Now, as an ET player,
which I do occasionally play ET, he's no Meepo.
Yeah. I know that you don't play him as often as you play your Meepo, but I would imagine you'd be pretty excited about that one.
Yeah. I think he tends to have some mana issues, at least when I play him. I don't feel like he's swimming in the stuff. So I think the.
Right.
What if he was swimming in mana, though?
You know, well, his little spirit guy kind of looks like he's made of mana. So.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
it's true. He is kind of blue.
Whatever mana looks like. I mean,
I would imagine it being
mana
blue.
Is blue.
Yeah, I would too.
Echo Stomp physical and magical damage increase from 80 to 80, 85, 90, 95.
Even bigger deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, more damage. That's a good thing for sure.
So less mana, more damage.
Less mana, more damage, no problems. So there's not really a loss.
Well,
there.
And the thing I love about Elder Titan is that with that Echo Stomp, your spirit stomps too.
Yeah, it certainly does, yeah.
So that's awesome.
That maybe gives you the ability to track somebody down and get a kill as they're running away that you wouldn't have had before, for example. Although, that should be something that most players can avoid, but if you trap them with it, you're forcing them to come back to somebody else or to run right into that.
So. Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Interesting stuff.
Okay, let's talk about some Ember Spirit nerfs here.
There weren't enough.
It's not quite to the level that I wish it would have been, but this is pretty typical for how the developers handle balance changes. They just do them kind of slowly.
Yeah, okay. Which he got a pretty big nerf, but it needed to be, I think that...
A little bit more.
Yeah.
How upset was Kyle? That's what I want to know.
I don't even know if Kyle knows there's a patch yet.
He doesn't know there's a patch.
No. God, no.
Okay, here we go. Searing Chains duration reduced from 2, 2, 3, and 3 to 1, 2, 2, and 3.
Okay.
So it's a level 1.
It's a marginal,
nerf.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the one that really gets him is the next one here.
Yeah, Sleight of Fist bonus damage reduced from 30, 60, 90, 120 to 20, 40, 60, 80.
It's a 40 at the last one, huh?
Yeah.
40 damage difference.
Yeah.
First off, whose idea was it to give him 120 bonus damage?
That's a crazy amount.
I wish I had some sort of bumper for Jared ranting.
Were you upset about this before?
No, but like...
You're upset about it now, yeah.
It's a ton of extra damage.
So much extra damage.
It's a lot of extra
damage. So much extra damage.
So it's like a mini... Juggernaut ultimate. Well, plus the range on it is incredible.
And the cooldown isn't that long.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous too. I think our gauge for whether this nerf works or not, because Kyle is obviously oblivious to the patch unless he listens to the show.
Which I'm sure he doesn't.
Is Kyle going to complain about no longer being good at Ember Spirit because he thinks he's great at Ember Spirit? He may be.
Which he actually is.
He may be.
He is really good on Ember Spirit.
So does Kyle complain or not? Because if Kyle does not complain, it was not a big enough nerf.
I don't think he will. I think where this matters is the pro scene.
Yeah, but
I think we should use Kyle as the judge and see if he ends up raging about it.
All right, yeah. We'll check in on the Kyle rage next. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll give you a
join back in.
Yeah, Kyle rage report.
I think what this does though is it takes Ember Spirit from like absolute first pick first ban to like being a good pickup.
Yeah, and he's still going to mid really well, and I think that's where it's coming in. The Ember Spirit hard carry really does not work that well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we think we need to do more is what you guys are saying.
I think the range on Sleight of Fist needs to be a lot less.
Is the range the big issue? That's what I always think that is the big issue.
I think it's the range. Yeah, the range. Do you know what it is? It's like 500 or 600, isn't it?
It's something nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I knew the bonus damage was an issue, but I think it's just the damage was so high based on how far out it could get. I think that was
a little ridiculous. All right, let's move on.
I'm checking the range. I'll have it up for us in a second.
Let's see. What else do we have here?
I think Shakira was the next big one.
On Huskar, Burning Spears is no longer a unique attack modifier. So that's...
There were a couple heroes that had abilities taken off of unique attack modifiers.
Yeah. So what does that do for you when that changes? That means you can add a unique attack modifier
to
them, right? When you couldn't before?
So you can be picking up Mask of Madness, Chrysalis.
It's like a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it really... Desolator,
Scotty. It opens up options. Because Huskar had a lot of... that's one of the... I mean, like, one of the things, like, with him and Ursa, where... they just had a little bit of problems because they couldn't build certain items.
Well, I was going to say, it's going to change your itemization choices entirely for those characters.
I think that's the intention, is to just really open up the...
Options.
The item pool.
Yeah, that's great.
On Invoker, EMP got a slight nerf.
Yeah, it was a delay, just so you can't chain together the tornado and the EMPs as much.
That thing is so freaking good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Jakiro, dual breath range increased by 50. And liquid fire level 4 cooldown reduced from 5 to 4.
Mm-hmm. And?
Aghanim Scepter macro pyre duration increased from 7 to 14.
And
Aghanim Scepter macro pyre range increased from 1350 to 1800.
So how does this change to Kuro? That seems like some pretty major...
Yeah, that means you need to be picking up the Aghs on him, which is almost impossible because that guy farms so slow.
Yeah, he doesn't get much farm.
No, but...
Macro pyre with like a nice vacuum or an RP or a thing from
Chronosphere.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, no, that's
so do you see people getting a Midas on him now or something?
Maybe
to maybe try to get to that. Is that a good way to get to the eggs that way?
If you have a good early game, that might be a good idea to make sure you get your levels and some gold.
I don't know. It's always nice seeing these Ag Scepter changes on these supports and stuff, but it's kind of like Lion. You know, everyone freaked out about the Ag Scepter change on Lion.
And you haven't seen anything.
No. So I think it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, it's just hard because it's 4,200 gold.
Yeah.
And you're lucky to get 4,200 gold.
In a game.
As
a support.
As a hero.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You're just going to end up getting it passively by like 32 minutes, but...
Do the other changes impact his farm, though? Is he going to get some more gold that way?
No.
Do you think that's going to happen?
No,
not enough.
But I do think that it's quite a big buff. So I mean,
the other changes are a big enough buff without the eggs changes, basically.
And just as a note, Sleight of Fist for Ember Spirit. 700 range.
Oh,
wow.
550 radius at level 4, too.
Wow.
So it's
huge.
So it's a big radius, yeah.
Gosh.
Is it a skill shot? Like,
please nerf.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, Keeper of the Light. Aghanim Scepter upgrades for Keeper of the Light.
Yeah, so now this is another hero that's been added for Aghanim Scepter. So before this, it didn't do anything, I don't think, for him.
Provides permanent spirit form. Additionally, the following effects are active during the day. Keeper of the Light gains unobstructed vision and illuminate, heals allies for 75% of the damage values.
You said during the day.
Yeah, during the day.
He has unobstructed vision?
Yeah, during the day.
So he can see everything.
No, that doesn't sound right.
I'm not sure what that means.
Unobstructed vision. Does that mean that, like,
I bet his
he can see high ground?
I think
maybe
that's what it is. I think he can see through trees and that kind of thing.
And like high ground.
He probably has the same vision radius.
Yeah, so same vision radius, but it's not stopped by trees or high ground, I would imagine.
That would be my assumption. Yeah.
That's nice.
But yeah.
But it still is nice. Yeah, that's definitely good.
But how many times is Keeper of the Lake going to get Aghanims? Never.
Not too often. Again, these supports with the Ag Scepter upgrades, it's challenging to say the least.
Let's see here. Some buffs on Kunkka to the ship. Ooh, here's a big one. Okay, on the Lich, Frost Armor can now be cast on buildings.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Aghanim Scepter Chain Frost no longer has a bounce limit.
Also very cool. So, wow.
So we were watching a video earlier of a Frost Orb.
Somebody already trying it out, yeah.
Or of a Chain Frost bouncing between a bunch of ancient creeps, and a level 25 Pudge just walks a little too close, and it just bounces like crazy, and he dies in like 5 seconds. Not even that, like a half second.
Yeah, it was like a half second. Because the whole video is 9 seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the only way to get it to stop bouncing now is to spread out.
Yeah.
Which is what you should be doing anyways, but
right?
That's insane.
Yeah, now you have to.
As Jared pointed out, this is now the highest damage output spell in the game.
So, potential.
Yeah. So a Naga Siren or a Chronosphere, can you get that to bounce in there?
Oh, yeah.
So that's just instant death, right?
Well, with the Naga Sleep, you can't do damage.
Correct.
During sleep.
Right, but with a Chronosphere, you could, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fair game, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Or anything that's going to have a global stun, anything along those lines, you're just going to be
Treant Protector's Ultimate, that Overgrowth.
Right. Anything like that.
Yep.
That's great.
On Lina, with Ag Scepter, the Laguna Blade now goes through BKB.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. She's one of those people that you can build her as a semi-carry, and she can potentially get Ag Scepter.
Yeah, for sure. She's a decent mid.
Yeah.
And this is definitely going to be something I think where you're going to see her a bit more, because that does so much damage.
Yeah.
So much damage. Scepter damage, 600, 925, 1250.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
On Lycan, Shapeshift no longer provides bonus health, which was 100, 200, and 300. Mm. Which is...
Yeah,
it's
that can make a difference.
Yeah, it's I don't think it turns Lycan into a bad hero by any means.
No, but it makes him much less of a one great thing about Lycan was his escapability.
Yeah,
that's why he was such a good if you want to call him a rat. That split pushing kind of hero, because he could just shapeshift and run away, he's always going to have health.
And now you're 100 to 200 health less.
Yeah,
able to do that.
Exactly.
I mean, you can be less aggressive with that.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, of note for you, Meepo base movement speed increased from 305 to 315. Meepo's back, baby.
I don't know how Meepo works. I have never, this is true, we've looked this up, I've never had a kill with Meepo.
That is true.
New meta, folks.
Never had a kill.
There's a couple Naga Siren nerfs. Necrophos, Heartstopper aura, area of effect increased from 1,000 to 1,200.
That's what's so annoying about that guy, too, is that Heartstopper aura, where you just lose HP. It's just HP loss.
What are you going to do?
Reaper's Scythe now adds plus 30% duration to the respawn timer.
So his ultimate, you know, where they get that chain and he hits you with that thing?
Right.
30% more.
They take longer to respawn.
Yeah, they now take longer to respawn, too.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever.
I thought that was pretty clever.
On Nightstalker, darkness also affects the vision of buildings now.
Interesting.
That is an interesting change.
I wonder why it didn't before, but okay.
I don't know.
Right.
Again, spring cleaning.
Let's see here.
I feel like they're trying to get Omni Knight good, and he's still just annoying.
He just doesn't bring enough to the table, because he's purely defensive, and that's all.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to be.
Well, purification does damage. heal and harm.
Shadow Demon added an Aghanim Scepter upgrade. Demonic Purge cooldown replaced with two charges that have a 40-second replenish time. I don't know what that means.
I think it means that he can do it twice, but they like so basically he has two cooldowns for it now instead of one.
Oh, very good.
Basically, I think that's what that means.
I'm glad you're here, Jared.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else? Let's see. Tusk, the snowball was reworked on Tusk.
Mm-hmm.
Now you kind of toggle it like you do Puck's Illusory Orb.
Yeah.
And you can also pick up allies in that thing now.
Yeah, you can snowball in with allies.
So you can say, hey, guys, get my snowball. Here we go.
Let's ride. Let's ride. We did skip over Silencer.
Oh, yeah. He got a pretty good buff on that, didn't he?
Yeah. His agi growth went from 2.1 to 3, which the highest agi growth of anybody... any hero is Phantom Lancer, and his is 4.2. So
a 3 is pretty solid.
Yeah, 3 is really good.
Do we see is he more viable as a pure carry now?
No, he's definitely semi-carry,
but a stronger semi-carry.
Yeah, because he's going to be able to throw out those Glaives of Wisdom that do pure damage.
Yeah.
So freaking fast now. It's like
those are great. I like Silencer.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He got a cooldown buff as well, didn't he? His cooldown.
He's fun to play.
The Curse of Silence. So right. That's not his.
It's not his big move, but it's still a lower cooldown is a lower cooldown.
Single stars.
That's more opportunities to use an ability.
I would just like to point out that on Tusk with the snowball, you could always pull in allies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I have never seen before.
So why are you so excited about this?
Well, because it seems cool, but apparently it was always cool.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I'm really disappointed now, because apparently I don't even think it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Something else of note on Ursa, Fury Swipes is no longer a unique attack modifier, so that kind of opens up the pool.
Yeah, like
a little
we were talking
more.
About, yeah.
Desolator, Scotty, Mask of Madness.
Scotty? Oh, man, that's going to be gross.
Get a Satanic on Ursa. He'll never die.
Game over, man.
Yeah.
Game over, man.
Yeah.
Jared, tell us about the Wind Ranger changes.
this is pretty interesting. So first off, Wind Run now disjoints things.
It does what now?
It can disjoint incoming attacks,
which means
that you can Wind Run and not get hit.
That's
so like
awesome.
Let's say
if you had like let's see, Gyrocopter's tracking
his homing missile or a Shuriken from
does
Bounty
work
Hunter
on Sniper's ultimate.
Yes.
You can disjoint that?
You can disjoint that.
Because it actually has some
because I've
time.
Seen,
it's an actual projectile.
Yeah, I've seen a Puck do that.
That's incredible.
Great.
Phase shift out and do it. But yeah, exactly. It's something like that where you can basically time it well and you can avoid that attack.
Pretty amazing.
But then the biggest thing is her Aghanim Scepter upgrade now reduces, because Focus Fire, her ultimate, basically just makes her attack really fast.
Right.
But she got like minus 50, 40, and 30% damage.
Does less damage.
But now, with the Aghanim Scepter, it does minus 30, minus 15, and minus 0%. So she's going to attack...
at her full capacity.
At level 16 with an Ag Scepter.
That's crazy.
That is... I mean, towers are going to melt, basically. And heroes, if you...
And heroes, or anything, because she can... it also will has no special rules for procs now, too.
Yeah.
So each one of those attacks is going to use like the normal Maelstrom proc or like crit proc.
Any procs.
Oh, so that's... Ooh.
That's pretty exciting.
You might see some Carry Windranger.
Yeah. I did skip over Vengeful Spirit, and this is maybe my favorite change of everything.
Yeah, and I have two more that I want to touch on too. That we
when missed. Vengeful Spirit is slain, her killer is inflicted with a negative vengeance aura, which decreases the damage of her killer and their nearby allies until she revives. So, a feeding Vengeful Spirit is now a legit thing.
Yeah,
I think this is going to really work well for our team's meta. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Our win rate just went up by 50%.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think that that's going to be huge for.
It is interesting.
Yeah,
huge for Venge
for us.
Yeah, exactly. Troll Warlord. So his whirling melee axes, his melee whirling axes now have used to have a cast point of 0.2, now have a cast point of 0. So basically, that's an instant cast for his melee
pretty
attack.
Great, yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big deal for last hitting, for anything where it doesn't take any time for him to attack it through, which is why it's so easy to like last hit with like Sniper, because his...
It's an instant.
Yeah. and why it's so much harder to last hit with like a spirit breaker.
Yeah.
His attack animation is terrible.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
But then also my favorite, I still think that he's my favorite hero. Undying.
He's your, really?
I think
I've
so.
I've never heard you wow. say that.
I think yeah. so. He's so much fun to play.
I thought you really liked Tiny and Centaur.
I do. I do really
do
like both
play
of
Undying?
Them.
Undying?
Yeah, I played Undying.
I don't think
have I've you ever won it. With Undying?
Like once.
Okay.
I didn't think, I had no idea.
He's a lot of fun to play.
I don't even feel like I know you anymore.
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah.
Go home. no, seriously, I really enjoy playing him, and I want him to be good. So this is a good thing.
Well, let's
for
talk
me here.
About okay. what was the change.
So his soul rip, which is the thing where he can, basically his nuke,
yeah,
where he does damage or he can heal. The radius or the area of effect. No, this is the soul rip is the where he steals strength, I think. Anyway,
nobody knows. We don't play on dice.
Yeah, so basically increased
nobody
by
does,
like 300.
Jared.
Area anyway fine,
I think Undying is the new Meepo
whatever. His tombstones zombies no longer give any experience or gold, so that's huge.
Yeah, that's real
that
huge
does
Jared.
Seem like a big deal.
I hate you guys
that,
so much.
No, that's good. No, that's good.
I agree, that seems excellent. You don't want to feed people
all
gold.
Right, all right, never mind,
because it takes him basically, it used to be whenever you'd pick up Undying that was a win for the other team.
Yeah, so I guess it makes him less of a win
yeah
for the other team.
Sure, yep, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm glad that you're glad that that's a
yeah
good change.
I'm glad too. Put me in the glad camp.
We're
with
all
Ben.
Glad
we're all sure, glad for
sure.
you Jared.
Hey, your favorite item also got a buff, did you see that?
Yeah, Yule Scepter.
It now does damage.
It does 50 damage
when
which,
they fall.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the point of that is.
Well, because it's kind of neat. You think if they're falling from the sky, they're going to take damage.
Yeah.
It's fall damage.
Exactly.
And you can also use it on yourself when you have BKB up.
But you don't take fall damage if you use it on yourself.
No.
Doesn't make sense. Not real consistent, but it's okay.
I don't know. Maybe you do.
You do not.
I don't think you do.
Okay. I have the patch notes up here. You guys have your special iPads yeah. and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only says enemy units. Yeah.
And there is a little bit of a nerf to Necrobook.
Yeah,
it's the creeps give some more XP.
Yeah,
when killed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So good for them.
yeah, but we were going to talk about the hero of the week, but I think we should skip over it.
Why?
Well, we're at about 50 minutes in.
Okay.
And we've still got some noobs ass noobs to go through.
Okay.
So I think we should slide through that.
Okay.
And save Bristleback for next week.
Oh,
I'm really
risque.
Disappointed.
Risque, but I'm okay with it.
You'll just have to come back next week, Ben.
I don't want to.
Okay.
We don't want you back either.
Okay, so we're going to move on to Noobs Ask Noobs.
Okay.
So if you're really wanting to listen about Bristleback, come back next week, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Okay, so I feel bad because D.L. I always want to call him D.L. Rathburn, but it's D.L. Rathbun.
Sounds like you have a lisp when you say that.
Yeah, well, maybe I do.
Yeah.
He asked yep. this question, I think, literally like
a month ago.
Like a month ago, yeah. So I have to formally apologize, issue a formal, it's not a retraction.
I think you should call it a retraction.
A formal retraction to D.L. Rathbun. I'm so sorry that I took so long to answer this question.
I'm really confused. How do you spell his name?
D.L.
Space?
No.
D-L-R-A-T-H-B-U-N.
It is rap. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't joking.
So, okay.
R-A-T-H-P-I-N?
B-I-N.
B-U-N.
B-U-N.
Rathbun.
Rathbun.
Rath. Are you sure it's not Rathbun?
It might
be. No, we're not sure.
I would think it's Rathbun.
Okay.
Rathbun.
We'll go with that. Okay. So he asks, he says, so I'm buying
troll,
a coffee maker.
Hard.
He says he's buying a coffee maker and was wondering, what type of coffee do you guys like or recommend? I usually just buy Starbucks, but was thinking about switching to Roastery Coffee, which is a local coffee company in Kansas City.
Clarification, this is a Dota podcast, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But we're cultured people. We're cultured people, Ben.
Ben, I think you just shot him down.
Well, I'm just curious if
this is a podcast where we welcome questions of any type. He's a viewer.
I will keep this in mind.
He's a listener who's engaging.
Do not make
asking
just
us
like
questions.
A Reddit like username and
seems like dangerous things to tell your listeners.
Just go home, Ben.
Get out of here.
Okay. So he wants a coffee maker recommendation, switching to a local coffee roaster.
Good idea.
That's a really
good idea. He says, you haven't seen it available in your state, have you? No, I have not. Just wondering, what choices do you guys make in deciding what brand of coffee that you purchase?
What have we seen in our state or not seen in our state?
This brand, this local coffee roaster that he goes to.
Which is, we don't know.
It's called Roastery.
They do not exist around here that I know of.
They do not.
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh.
Okay.
So coffee man, talk to me.
So yeah, I'm a bit of a coffee nerd.
Snob.
Pretentious.
People would say snob, pretentious, and I don't disagree with any of that.
you just, let's just for the record, about an hour ago complained about coffee from a French press.
That's too oily.
Yeah. I know you often complain about coffee from a French press.
So, okay, there's a couple routes that you can take here. First, I have to applaud his decision to switch away from Starbucks, which, to be clear, I mean, I do have a little bit of a problem with Starbucks. They over-roast their beans. But you know what? If you're just looking for a quick cup of coffee...
It's a good place to
get. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that said, if you're wanting to go to a local roaster, as far as coffee types to get, I look for a nice medium roast.
You do like the medium roast.
I do like a good medium roast.
It gives a good body, but then you also impart a lot of flavor.
Correct.
The more that you roast the bean, the less flavor from the bean that you're getting. Is that correct? And more of the roasting flavor.
Yeah. I would say the darker with the roast you get, you taste the roast more, not the bean as much.
Right.
And to give Brian props, he makes a darn good cup of coffee.
I do like a good really cup of coffee.
He really does. Yeah.
He takes way too long to make it for me. Like, I would never do that myself. But if he's been willing to make me coffee before, and I have never been disappointed.
That's true.
Yeah, I have no issues with taking a little bit longer to make a better cup of coffee. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get a whole bean coffee and grind it before you make it.
Burr grinder or a machine grinder is okay? Or,
well, machine grinders are... There's blade and burr grinders.
What would you recommend?
You want to get a burr grinder.
Okay.
So you get a more universal, even blend for better extraction and fuller flavor.
No, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
The idea is that the blade grinders just chop up the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not always very...
A burr grinder pulverizes.
Right.
It's more uniform. And what I recommend is getting what's called the Clever Coffee Dripper.
Can you spell that for me?
C-L-E-V-E-R.
Okay, so it is just how it sounds. Okay.
I think that was a good question.
It makes one cup at a time, which if you're not looking for that, I have some other suggestions as well. But if you're looking to just do a single cup at a time, it doesn't get any easier than this. It's the way to go. You just grind up your coffee, you stick it in there with a filter, you wait 4 minutes, and then you're done.
Any special filter needs or just a regular filter?
Just a regular old paper filter.
I didn't know you'd have such a simple solution that would provide such a good cup of
coffee. I thought you were all about these bamboo filters.
Well, anytime I've seen him make it, it's like he goes
you
out.
Had to bring up the bamboo filters, Jared.
But it's really like if you watch Brian,
it's a process.
It's like I'm pretty sure he went out, chopped down some wood, you know, bamboo wood, and like crafted a filter out of it.
No, totally.
Went down and he learned some glass working classes and
created what
some
is glass working?
Blew his own flask to make this stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Puts the bamboo filter in there.
Yeah.
Went out there and picked the coffee beans and roasted them himself. And
right,
then,
totally.
I mean, it is an involved process to watch him make coffee.
If I'm being honest, that does sound very exciting.
Right. And I'm not saying that as a mean thing. I'm just surprised your solution that you're providing is so simple. Because that's not what I usually see you do.
So, yeah, usually it's a 10 to 15 minute process to get
a
cup of coffee.
Right. Well, that involves boiling the water.
Oh, right.
If I had water readily boiled, it'd be a lot quicker.
But he has to go to a special spring to get the water.
Right.
But what I would recommend is doing the Clever Coffee Dripper. If you want to make, two or three cups at a time, switch to what's called the Chemex. Or just a good old French press. That's always a classic as
well.
But
you don't like the French press.
I do not. They're too oily. It's a metal filter. Sometimes it's real chunky.
I like the French press, but I know you do not.
Yeah. It's different strokes for different folks. And what I'll do is there's a really good article on, I think it's either on thewirecutter.com or thesweethome.com about what to get. And I will link to that in our subreddit.
Oh,
and that's the way to go.
So coffee.
Coffee, guys. I love it.
You would.
And we'll watch out for that the local roaster around here.
And you're a big believer in the Keurig, right?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I'm about as into
I thought you
Keurig.
Were.
I own one.
Okay.
Just like I've played Meepo.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I will also say I have had Keurig coffee at your house, and I won't not drink it.
No, I will drink it, and it is very convenient, and it is sometimes nice as an option when I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
And because my wife does not drink coffee, so if it's coffee that's being made, it's just for
you
me.
You just slam that pot in there and you hit go.
Yeah, so there is some convenience that's there.
But you are paying like an insane amount of money.
Which is why I'm not a fan of
for
that.
Stale coffee.
Exactly. It's not that good a coffee, and it's very expensive. Yeah.
But it is nice when you're like, I've got 2 minutes.
I just really want a cup of coffee. Yeah. Yeah, that's
pretty much, yeah.
I'm more of a tea person now than I once was, to be honest.
Oh, really? Yeah. I do like tea.
I like loose tea.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, shall we move on to the next question?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This comes from Superfan Field Studies.
Oh, welcome back,
Field Studies. You probably pronounced that one correctly.
Fan of the show Field Studies. Okay, so his question is, what do you watch for when you watch the pros?
Okay.
When I started playing, I liked watching pro games to follow the games of chess grandmasters, in the sense that to an amateur, the strategy is nearly indecipherable.
Yep.
This is kind of what Dota's
kind
does,
of
right?
True. I mean, yeah,
that's exactly what
I think. Dota is very similar to that.
Listen to this though. He says, but you guys are right. There's a lot to learn if you keep spectating.
That's right.
That's right. Mark this down in your calendars. This is the first time somebody has ever said we're right.
I said that earlier today about you. That's like twice in a day.
Oh my gosh.
Great.
Okay. Now, I think there's a lot to watch for two main things. The draft is almost always interesting.
Agreed.
Correct.
I really enjoy the casters who will explain and predict picks.
Correct.
I probably still haven't played half the heroes in the game.
Amen.
But I've watched enough to begin to learn the meta. I especially enjoy when the draft seems to prefigure one sort of game or outcome, and then the actual play turns everything on its head.
Amen.
And the other thing he looks for is flow. And I say that with air quotes around it.
Yeah, I saw those.
When
but
teams,
I'm here with you.
When teams back off after a tower push, when they start roaming, you know, that sort of thing. Just the general, you know.
Flow flow game.
So my initial reaction is good on him. He is definitely on the right track.
Can we give him any better advice than what he just gave us? I don't know.
What I watch for is, well, Jared, I'll let you answer first.
Okay. I more listen than watch a lot of times.
Yeah.
So I have like you said, I have certain casters that I go to because I think that they explain things a little bit more. Like I think Merlini does a really good job on that.
Yeah.
From Beyond the Summit. I feel like he's a guy that will explain what he's thinking a lot of times and explain like just thoughts behind strategies, things like and the way that certain things like interconnect. I think otherwise I like to just watch movement of players, like when I'm actually watching it.
It's a good thing to pick up from that.
Totally, like just the way that they might path through like the jungle, or the common ward placements, like stuff like that that I really try to get on as well.
I really enjoy picking up itemization and then creative use of ability combos. And so whether it's amongst one particular hero using abilities in a certain way to do something that's maybe outside of the box, or even if it's just a combination of abilities and how those can have some synergy, I think that's a good thing to pick up when you're watching as well.
That's true.
One thing that is really great if you're able to do it, if you buy a ticket in the game and you can actually watch in the client and you can just follow different heroes around. What I like to do is follow the support players and to see like what their rotations are.
Yeah, totally.
You know, when they're leaving and entering lanes, those sorts of things.
Timing of pulls.
Timing of pulls, right. Because I feel like the tempo of the game is really decided by the support players.
Without a doubt.
I would agree.
If you're able to do that, that's really great. But if you're not... I think I'd really agree with Jared. And I guess it's because I've been playing support more is ward placement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's something that you can pick up on pretty easily.
Yeah. But also just like positioning in team fights.
I think so.
Right.
How team fights are started, how they're initiated.
Totally.
Just things like that. But I think even more so just, you know, like you said, like drafts and like what drafts lead to different strategies.
Yeah, and then actually seeing if it happens or not.
Yeah,
I love that.
It actually worked.
I love that.
And why didn't it, right?
Yeah.
What was it that prevented it?
Yeah, I think that's maybe about it. I think even like lane configuration is really important as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good one.
Figuring out, you know, if you want to do a 2-1-2. We've seen a couple 2-2-1s where you do two in the mid lane.
Yeah.
Was it Fnatic doing that?
Oh, yeah. They do that quite often, actually.
Yeah.
It's weird, but yeah.
I love that those guys aren't scared to try different things.
I love them for that.
Yeah.
For sure. They're not afraid to pick heroes outside the box. Like, they're one of the few people that actually do run Undying every once in a while.
And
as often as they
he is
do
your
Meepo.
Hero, so.
I think so. Yeah,
that's great.
They run a support Meepo. No Tail does.
Yeah, and he's pretty good on it.
I think that's maybe about it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I really like to listen if I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, you know, if you're doing dishes or...
I think
you guys are both have the benefit of being able to do that while you worked.
Yeah. I usually have Twitch on when I'm working.
I can't really do that.
Not really paying too much attention to it, but it's fun just to keep up.
Yeah,
on
exactly.
Stuff.
And so one of the casters I like to gravitate to if I'm not actively listening, but just because he's very entertaining, is of course AC.
Yeah. Blew the speakers out on my tablet.
Blew the speakers out on some of my earbuds. So watch out.
Gosh. Seriously, what are they? Just compress the heck out of that thing.
Yeah, they
Come
need
on,
to
what
work
are you
on
doing
him.
Over there?
They need to work on him, but he's very entertaining.
Yeah.
He's very entertaining.
Yeah. I think that's about it, though. I think that brings us to the end of the show here. We're just a skosh over an hour.
Perfect. So
I feel like we need to apologize for our last episode. I think it was a turd.
Well, yeah.
I would assume you guys apologize after or during every episode.
We probably
should we just
go ahead and preemptively apologize for this episode?
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
But Jared, where can we find you online?
Mainly on Twitter.
Okay.
+3000 is my handle. +3000.
Okay.
How about yourself, Brian?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is Byinger, BYINGER. You can find links to our subreddit and the Steam community group and YouTube channel and all that at welikedota.com. I also brought up our subreddit, reddit.com/r/welikedota. And Ben, I believe you don't actually use the internet anymore. Is that correct?
I am off the internet.
You deleted the internet, correct?
I do have a Twitter account.
Oh.
I have 7 followers. So if you would like
very good.
If you would like to be number 8. And I actually occasionally use Twitch. So I will Twitch for my PS4.
That's
not
true.
So if you want to see some non-Dota bad gaming, you can watch me play PS4 games occasionally.
It's pretty boring. You need to get like a camera of some sort.
I can chat, but you know how I am. I don't.
Can you like talk?
I can talk. You could hear me talk.
Oh.
Should I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. So you can find me at Dota Yadneb, YADNEB.
And that's for your Twitter or your Twitch?
Well, it's my Twitter will talk about my Twitch. I think I've had not very many tweets, and they're mostly about my Twitch.
That's
okay,
perfect.
That's
pretty boring.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, but you can follow me, and Brian will make me be on the microphone sometime while I do that. So,
here's what we should do. You should play, and I'll get on the microphone, because I have no issues talking.
Okay, so we'll do that instead. When I live stream from PS4, look forward to Byinger actually chatting. Yeah. So we'll get some... you can send us some requests. There aren't that many good games on the PS4, but I've got Final Fantasy 14. I've got some Infamous. We can have Brian do some live
commentary.
Live commentary on my crappy PS4 playing.
Perfect. That sounds like a really fun time.
I feel
time,
like
guys.
As we like Dota, we should do something on Twitch, but I don't know what that is.
I don't know how to use Twitch on my computer. That seems too hard.
There's a little bit of a process to it.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, but I don't know what that is.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe we should start streaming as recording or something, or streaming as playing, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Let's just go off topic. You can stream my PS4 games.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.